Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad you agreed to do this interview with me.
Thank you.
So, start off by telling us, Dad, where were you born?
In Kampala, Uganda, in 1936.
And what brought you to Africa in the first place?
I was born there.
But what brought your father over there?
I must be looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. What did your father do?
Clerical.
Clerical?
Yeah.
Do you know what company he worked for?
I think it was the Cotton Association or Ginning Pool or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And where was your father born?
He was born in India.
What town?
Petland, P-E-T-L-A-D.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what year he moved to Uganda?
I think maybe 1932 or 1933. 32, most probably.
Okay. Do you know how old he was when he moved to Uganda?
20.
20?
Yeah.
And did he have other relatives there while
no.
he was? No?
No.
So,
because
it was...
My grandfather called him there. My mother's father called him there. In Uganda.
Okay, so his father-in-law was there?
Yeah, his father-in-law called him.
Okay. And then so, he was there since about 32.
Yeah.
And you were born in 1936?
Yeah. And he died in 1937.
1937?
Yeah. When I was less than a year old.
Less than a year old. And Grandma was pregnant with your sister
at
the time?
At the time, yeah.
So, at that point, your mother decided to go back to India?
No. She stayed for about 2-3 months, and then my grandfather took her to India.
Your grandfather, her father took her to India. And where did your mother then?
Well, she stayed at my grandfather's house.
Okay. She stayed with your grandfather at his house.
Yeah, at his house.
And do you have any memories of your youth from when you were young, living in India?
No, what happened? I went back to Africa in 1940 with my grandfather.
1940?
Yeah.
So you were only 4 years old?
4 years old.
Sorry, just a pause. Let's turn off this. Somehow this phone went off automatically. How do you turn this off? So then, when you were 4 years old, your grandfather brought you back to Africa.
Africa.
And did your mom come with you?
No. She stayed with her maternal uncle.
Okay. So you were by yourself with your grandfather then, at the age of 4?
Yeah.
Did your sister come with you or she stayed?
She stayed in India.
And so that would have been about 1940, you're saying?
40, yeah.
And then how long did you live in Uganda with your grandfather?
We went back to India in 1943.
Okay, so for 3 years you lived without your mother?
Yeah.
Who was the maternal caretaker for you while you were without your mother? Who was the female influence on you?
Nobody.
Nobody?
No.
Did you have an aunt or?
No.
No? Okay, so it was just you and your father?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 1944, does that sound right? 44?
Yeah.
You went back and you would have been about 8 years old at that point.
Yes.
Do you have memories of going back to India?
Yes, very well.
And at that point, you lived with
my grandfather.
Your grandfather?
Yeah. Because he settled permanently in India in 1944.
Okay, so he settled permanently in India at that point. Yeah. What did your mother's father do in Uganda? Why was he there?
He was working there.
And what kind of work was he doing?
He was clerical job.
Okay. It was common for Indians to go to Africa to work.
Yeah.
To find a better life for themselves.
Yeah.
And so in 44, you moved back to India. You were 8 years old.
Yeah.
You started schooling in India.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy school?
Oh, yes. Because I had an experience in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Because I took a primary school in for 2-3 years in Africa. And I was just, when I went to India, I was the brightest student in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And in whole of the school also.
You were the smartest kid in the school, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. That school was in Petlad?
No, Sojitra.
Sojitra. Okay. And so, at that point, you lived in the house with your grandfather?
Yeah.
Grandfather, your mother?
Grandmother and maternal uncle.
And your maternal uncle in Sojitra.
Sojitra.
Okay. So from the age 8 to then, was it 17 that you stayed in India?
Yeah. Up to 1953 I was in India.
Okay. So
I left India in April 83.
Did you like?
April 53.
Did you like growing up in India?
Sure. Because I had not to worry as far as my grandfather was there. And because he was better than local people in India, because he was in Africa, so he had enough money. Plus, he inherited something from his father. So he was well-to-do family.
Okay, so in relative terms, you had... you were well taken care of financially in India.
Yeah.
Having the fact that your father worked in Uganda, had accumulated some money.
My grandfather accumulated.
Your grandfather, yes. Sorry. And so, what prompted you then to say you wanted to go to Uganda?
Oh, that was forced by my grandfather. That. Better go to Uganda, where you have future prospects there.
Mm-hmm.
In India, it was very difficult at that time to get a job or to even earn extra money.
So did you go by yourself?
Yeah. He paid for my passage,
mm-hmm.
and he gave me...
It's okay. He paid for your passage.
Yes, and
tough memories. It's okay. Hard going by yourself?
No.
To a country?
Yeah, no, because I had my uncle there, maternal uncle also.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Uganda, so I went to his house in 53.
Yeah.
And
but you were excited about at least the idea of taking care of yourself.
Yes.
And you had a good education and you wanted to make a living for yourself.
Yeah.
Was it hard to leave your parents, your grandfather and your mother?
No, because I was from one house, I was going to another house.
Mm-hmm.
Because from my grandfather's house, my maternal uncle's house. So it was with the same family, everything was the same.
You were very independent as well.
Yeah.
So do you remember the first day? How long was the journey from?
It was about 8 days from Mombasa to, from Bombay to Mombasa, which is a port in Africa.
Yeah.
About 8 days.
So how long did it take from Sojitra to Bombay? Did you have to take a train?
Yeah, 1.5 day.
1.5 day on a train to a town just to take a boat.
Boat,
a ship.
Ship.
From Bombay to Mombasa,
yeah,
which is in
East Africa.
East Africa. Mombasa is Tanzania or Kenya?
Mombasa is Kenya.
Kenya. And so then you landed in Kenya,
yeah,
your ship. And from Kenya, Mombasa, you went right to Kampala?
Yes.
And how long was that trip?
2.5 days.
2.5 days by train?
By train.
Okay. Did you go all by yourself or did somebody greet you in Mombasa?
Somebody, a friend of my master, picked me up from the boat to his house. And then I stayed there for 2 days and he told me to move on to Kampala by my own, and that was the thing.
Okay. So, at the age of 17,
yeah,
you land in Kampala, where your father, your father had grown up, your grandfather had worked, and now you're living at your maternal uncle.
Yeah.
Jim and Mama?
Yes, Jim and Mama.
And then you started the process of looking for a job.
Yeah. And at that time, it was very easy to get a job in Africa.
It was easy?
Very easy. You don't have to...
So describe your journey.
Journey was... It was fine because I had no obstacles or anything. I had no problems at all. And when I reached Kampala, Mama, as well as my master,
yeah,
and Parik's family, they were there.
Yeah, okay.
So I can stay either places every now and then, and it was fine for me.
So you had a lot of family there, so it
only
it
two
felt
families.
Good. Or just two families?
We had two families.
Jim and Mama and the Parik's.
Parik's family.
So was Parik Sashi Kaka there? Was Sashi Kaka there by then?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay.
No, yeah, he was about 14 years of age.
Okay, so a bit younger than you.
Yeah.
And so Bhanu Kaka, was he there?
Bhanu Kaka was there.
Dinu Kaka. So you had your cousins.
Yeah, great yeah, my cousins. Cousin, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why even to this day you're close to...
You're very close to each other.
Yeah. So you started the job search. How long did it take you to get a job and how did you find... your job?
Oh, that's a very interesting story. I reached there, to be exactly on the 8th of April, 1953. Then Mama called Masha, Mrs. Parik, and she said, this is here. Can you look for a suitable job for him somewhere? Because Masha was holding a very good position in the bank there, and it was normal practice of all our Indians. Whoever goes to Africa, they used to get job, first job in bank. Anyone, they used to get a job in bank.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this, and unfortunately, within 8 days' time, Masa died. Parik's father died, and then Sasikan's father died.
Mm-hmm.
He died, I think, on the 11th or 13th of April. And then I could not go for it. That means I had to look for another job.
Right.
But we had a good neighbor there in Africa. So prior to that, prior to his death, he called his friend who was staying in the same building and he said, here is my brother and he's looking for a job. Can you take care of him? He said, oh, fine. Because at that time, to get the job was the very easiest job thing was in Africa to get the job for Indian.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the job second day. You don't have to apply. And he said, okay. But since he died, I could not look for a job for the first 10 to 12 days. We were all in sorrows and so on. So after a month, he called me, a friend of Masa, and they said, okay, you can come for interview. He gave me some questions, some arithmetical questions and so on. It was 100%. And I got a job. And my starting salary at that time was 350 shillings plus 25% cost of living allowance. Means total, it was 437 shillings. I don't think we can exploit that one in the currency now, but that was a good salary compared to India and in Africa also, because I got this job through our relatives. And I got the job on the 8th of May, 53. And that was a company called, at that time it was called East African Telegraph Company in Kampala.
And you started off in that job as?
As a clerk.
As a clerk.
Yeah.
And what did that mean, a clerk, when you worked in a company like East African Tobacco Company?
Yeah, because they had a lot of things to perform, you know, to check how the machines are working, I mean, what are they working efficiently or not. So we used to have a lot of statistical information to get together and so on. If there's something wrong, then they used to look for results and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Then come 56, company in Uganda wanted to close out the factory in Ching, so they told me to go to Jinja. And in Jinja, at that time, I was only nobody at all.
Mm-hmm.
No one. But the guy who was there, he was very good, so nice. And he accepted me as a part of it, as a being guest also. I stayed with him. And at that time, he had only one son. And so it was he was staying in our company's headquarters, I mean, company's quarters provided with the company. So he said, this was fine. And I stayed there for 3 years. Then,
so you transferred to Jinja, and you stayed with
Patel,
somebody who was just very nice.
He was very nice.
And took care of you.
Yeah.
On offer to take you in to his residence.
Yeah.
And his name was?
Lula Patel.
Mm-hmm.
The father of Vinit Patel, who I was discussing. And,
yeah.
And whose name I gave this to Vinit.
So you had so much respect for him that
yes.
You decided to name your first son
after his son. Yeah, and he had so much respect for me that after 3 years he got another son, so he named him Siris.
He had so much respect for you that 3 years later he named his son after you.
Yeah.
That's special.
Special.
Story.
Normally it hardly happens like that.
What do you think, why do you think you guys built a close relationship?
Because we were working together.
Mm-hmm.
And our language was the same, our religion was the same. That's the only thing.
Was he older than you?
Yeah. He was about 12 years older than me.
And was he more well established in the company already?
No, at that time he had only 3 years job in the company.
Okay.
Because he joined the company in Jinja in 53. I joined the company in Kampala in 53.
I see.
Because before that he was in Tanzania, he was working in a cotton factory and so on, so on, so on.
Okay. So tell me about your career progression while you were at BAT, or East African Tobacco Company.
Okay. Then I went to Jinja from clerk. I was promoted as assistant to chief clerk in Jinja. Of course, there was no big change in that salary, but it was a prestigious job.
Mm-hmm.
because there were about 30 people, and within a year's time, I was promoted as an assistant chief clerk. And from then onward, I made progress throughout in my life. And there I stayed, during that period, I married Buklaven in 58.
You got married in 58?
Yeah.
And did you know Mom from when you were growing up in Sojitra?
Yeah, I know the young girl who was living behind our house there.
Right.
That family was behind our house only.
Right. So you knew the family. Your parents knew the family.
Our relatives, because relatives. It's a small community, eh?
Right.
So we know each other very well.
So you got married in 58. And then at what point did you move to Tanzania?
I moved to Tanzania in
1960. Yes. And was that another promotion opportunity for you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Describe that.
That was the chief clerk's position.
Chief clerk?
In Dar es Salaam.
And so from there on, so Vinit was born what year?
In 61.
61.
Because mummy came to Dar es Salaam. She stayed alone for 3 years in India.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. So after you were married, she was in India for 3 years?
With her father.
With her father, okay. And then she came right to Dar es Salaam then?
Yeah.
And then Vinit was born in Dar es Salaam?
No, Vinit was born in Dodoma.
Okay.
Because he was born, but you see, our tradition that first delivery goes on the parents' side, mother's side. So she had her foa, means her father's sister's husband, in a Dodoma, called a place called Dodoma.
And where is Dodoma?
It's a central Tanzania.
Central Tanzania, yeah.
Now, that Dodoma is the capital of Tanzania now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It was, Dar es Salaam was the capital before, but they moved that all things to Dodoma. I think after we left Dar es Salaam, it was transferred to Dodoma.
Okay. And then Dipika was born shortly thereafter.
Yeah, Dipika was born somewhere in 63.
Yeah. And at what point did you transfer back to Uganda?
No, I was transferred back to Uganda. In 68. Because then you were born in 1966.
66, yeah.
But you were born in Kampala.
Yeah.
Because it's as a normal practice, because normally the ladies go to the parents' house or somebody's bigger
right.
So, because Mama was in Kampala, so he said, okay, let her have delivery in Kampala.
Okay, so really, the reason I was born in Uganda is even though you were living in Dar es Salaam,
yeah.
Mommy was sent back to
Kampala.
To get delivery purposes. Okay. Okay. And so that was, so then you moved back to Uganda though. They offered you to move back to Uganda in 68. Was that another promotion?
Yeah, I got promotion after a year or so.
Okay.
And that was the, what do you call it, management grade. In 1969, I got promoted as an assistant to sector accountant or something like that. Because that we used to have designation, and you know, that whenever you go, there was always some designation change and so on.
Okay. So, what do you recall in Africa? When did it start getting maybe turbulent that you thought it was getting to be dangerous? Was that did that come on suddenly, or was that
No, that was somewhere in 72, 71.
71 when Idi Amin came into power?
Yeah. But before that, we had a good relations with all the government departments and so on. So I met Idi Amin about half a dozen times, Kampala.
You met Idi Amin
Yeah.
half a dozen times.
Yeah. And even when I was in Tanzania, I met about half a dozen times. The president of Tanzania, Julius Nyerere,
Julius Nyerere.
for about three, four times.
Okay.
I got his pictures with me.
Okay, yeah.
And that's it. And then 71, on somewhere in August, he said Asians should quit the country. And because I was Ugandan. I took Ugandan citizenship, but mommy was not, and I had my grandmother with me. So they decided, grandmother, my mother with me. So I said, let's do something, we should go. So I asked company, then they said, okay, if you want, I can transfer it to India also. And he was in correspondence with Indian company. I was able to get the job there in. It was Saharanpur, somewhere near Delhi. And I said, okay. But in between, I got a visa for visa for Kenya.
Kenya?
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. So I decided to move to Canada.
Okay. So, what made you choose Canada over going back to India?
I thought Canada is a prosperous country. That was the only thing.
Okay.
Because, and I had no other alternative because I could not go to Britain because all of family members went to Britain also, just like Marshall's family and so on.
Right.
They went to Britain because they had a British passport or British citizenship and so on. But I had nothing. I was Ugandan citizenship. So it was thankful to Uganda government, I mean, Kenyan government, who accepted all the people as refugees who had no legal status to stay in Uganda. I moved here.
Before we talk about Canada, describe Uganda, years living in Uganda as you became successful as a middle manager, had three children, had family there.
Yeah.
Did you like it there in Uganda?
Yeah. I like it. Wherever I go, I love all the places. I had no problem.
So you enjoyed your life in Uganda. It
Yeah.
was known as the Pearl of Africa at one time.
Once upon a time, yes.
So then you became a refugee
Yeah.
in
We came
Canada.
yeah.
Describe what made you pick Montreal, because I understand you might have had options. Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver.
What happened at that time, before leaving Uganda, I asked my boss in Uganda that if he had any job vacancy, because I was knowing that it was a worldwide company, they had a lot of branches throughout the world. I said, and they said, yes, we got offices, but we cannot promise you anything, but I can give you a letter of recommendation for to get you a job or to be accommodated somewhere. And when I came in, I approached them at the company here called Imasco, not Masco, but Imasco, IMSU, the tobacco manufacturers.
Imperial Tobacco Company of Canada.
Parent company of Imperial Tobacco, because Imasco was a holding company that
Conglomerate,
they
yeah.
come. And they gave me the guy who was there, he was very nice, and still before you get the job, everybody was asking for Canadian experience. So he said, okay, what we can do, you can sponsor you in a charitable company, because they were sponsoring that company. He said, okay, we will pay you salary for 6 months, and in between you will get your experience and so on, so it will be easier for you to get a job. And I said, fine. And they paid me for 6 months. Of course, I worked for 6 months. They did not pay anything, any extra pennies, but they offered me a job in a charitable institution.
Charitable institution, yep.
It was called Portage Program for Drug Dependencies.
Yeah, Project 80. Was it Project
No,
80?
no, no. It was
Project?
something like a for drug addicts.
Yeah, it was a program for drug dependent individuals for recovery. I recall it being Project 80 or
No,
something like
Project
that.
80 was another thing.
Another thing, okay.
Because when I was working there, then that guy told me that if you want extra money, you can work extra hours there, and you'll be paid for extra.
Okay.
And it was called Project 80 for poor children and so
I
on
see.
and so on.
And how did you find coming to Canada and living in Canada the first couple of years? Hard?
Not much. Because I was the first guy who got a job in Canada.
You were one of the first refugees to find a job.
Finding a job. And when I can tell you, among the Ugandan refugees coming here, I was the highest paid employee from Uganda to come to Canada. Because there were so many people, just like my friend Aditya and so on, because they went to Britain. So, but those who came to Uganda, I was the highest paid employee from our community here throughout, just
Okay.
like Raja, Bihari Patel, and so on. There was nothing there at that time.
So you felt proud because you did well.
I did very well. And I got a job. Then, during this 6 months probation, I mean, with temporary service, which is a Portage program, I applied because with my letter of recommendation from Ugandan companies and so on. So there was a company called, at that time it was a tugboat company, Macalister Towing Company, and the guy read my references, and he was very impressed on me the very first day, because I had an appointment with him at about 9 o'clock or 9:15 and so on, and I reached there at 9:13 exactly. So he said, "You are good, you are keeping your word," and he was very, very, very impressed on me from the very first day.
What was his name?
His name is Trevor Caron,
Trevor Caron. Yep.
Caron. And there I worked for about from 73 to 80.
And how did you find life in Canada? If I recall growing up, I think you were working three jobs, maybe all at once, and at any one time, and you were going to school in the evening. So how was it raising three children? Because even though you did were successful, we were relatively poor by Canadian standards, I guess.
Yeah, but far better off than other immigrants coming in from India, from
Right.
Uganda.
Right.
So I think it's pure good luck or blessing of the God.
And did you enjoy living in Canada, or you found it tough being away from family?
No, in fact, I had no families. Because the thing is, I had no relatives in India of my own. I had one uncle, and he had two sons and so on. But we were not knowing each other also.
But you had your cousins who went to London, that you grew up with in Africa. Your mother was in India, your sister in India. But I guess your immediate family was here with you.
Yeah. No, your grandmother was with us in Africa.
Yeah.
Because I called back, I called her to Africa from India, and she was there, I think just before your birth, or between, or immediately after difficult birth, she came there.
Right.
In 63. And she was with her till we left here. Tanzania.
Right. Canada.
Canada.
Uganda. For Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, restarting your life in Canada wasn't that hard?
No, for me it was not hard at all.
Okay. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, with hindsight, you've been living in Canada now longer than you've lived anywhere else in your life.
Yeah. Because I'm here since 73, I've been 72. Today, about 46 years.
Yeah, 47 years now.
Yeah,
47. And so is this pretty well feel like home now?
Yeah, to me it's fine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have any relatives in India, except my sister.
And she's in New Jersey? And
now she's moved to New Jersey.
Right.
With her son.
So this is home?
This is home.
Mm-hmm. So looking back, what sort of lessons would you want to impart? You got three generations here. Yourself, myself, and then you got your granddaughter here, and then this will probably, you know, be kept in the archives and listened to by many generations from now.
Thank you.
What are some of the lessons you would want to impart based on your own life learnings?
Hardworking. And honesty. Honesty.
Hard work and honesty.
Honesty, yes. Definitely. I put honesty first and hard work second thing.
Honesty first and hard work second.
Yeah.
Faith in God.
Yeah, and faith in God, yeah.
And faith in God. So if you keep it simple like that, you could live a good life.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Good. Anything else you'd want to say and leave for future generations?
No, nothing. Only advice to everybody to be honest and believe in God.
Well, thank you for spending this time recording this with me. I thought it was important considering how memorable my time was growing up, certainly in Uganda, and then coming to Canada as refugees, even though I always said I was one of the lucky ones because I was only 6 years old and was easily able to integrate into the system and the society. I always felt it was hard for everybody else in the family, yourself, because you worked hard for us, worked many jobs and went to school, because of mom, because she was here by herself raising the children, and she didn't speak English, and you know, felt she didn't have any friends around her. And even for Vinit and Dipika, Vinit had to integrate in the middle of his schooling, and Dipika as well, being a female and also having to integrate in the middle of her schooling. I certainly felt I was one of the lucky ones. And so it was important for me to certainly understand the struggles that you faced and to be able to kind of share that with certainly my daughter and future generations. Thank you. Thank you, Papa.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Bye. 39 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
StoryCorps.
No, it's for mom.
Hmm?
It's
for mom. It would have to be done in Gujarati.
It's okay.
Hmm? I don't speak half Gujarati too well.
What?
I don't speak Gujarati too well.
Just don't choke. This man is